During his first 2 years in office, Governor Charlie Crist has already appointed 2 members of the Florida Supreme Court. Within the next several months, he will appoint 2 more justices to the 7-member court. WMNF reports on the interviews for 1 of those 2 Supreme Court justice positions. Crist's first 2 appointees were interviewed in August. Now, another position is vacant because Justice Harry Lee Anstead is forced to retire due to the court's mandatory retirement age of 70 years. All 18 candidates for the position were interviewed Monday at the Tampa International Airport Marriott. Jason Unger is a Tallahassee attorney and vice chair of the Supreme Court Judicial Nominating Commission.
Justice Anstead is retiring. It's an at-large seat, this one, so the applicants can come from anywhere in the state of Florida. So we have 18 applicants. We've decided to interview all of them today. Then we will shortlist during our deliberations process later today for a minimum of 3, maximum of 6 names to submit to the governor, for which he can choose whomever he likes.
One of the candidates vying for the vacant position is Frank Jimenez, who is also a candidate in the August process that produced new justices Charles Kennedy and Ricky Polston. Jimenez currently serves as the general counsel of the U.S. Department of the Navy, a political appointment that will end when the Bush administration leaves office in January. Jimenez said he was the architect of every aspect of a case before the U.S. Supreme Court on whether the Navy could use sonar, even though it injures whales and other wildlife, a case the Navy won last month.
We were sued in the Central District of California, Los Angeles, and we were enjoined from all use of sonar in our training exercises. And these are training exercises of ships that this training is the very last thing they do, literally before traveling to the Arabian Gulf to launch aircraft in support of the wars in Southwest Asia. So this is vitally important to us.
When Jimenez was interviewed in August, the commission was concerned about whether he could be an impartial judge on the Supreme Court because of his political ties. On Monday, their concerns appeared to be alleviated. After the interviews in August, 8 candidates were recommended by the Judicial Nominating Commission to Governor Crist for the 2 positions. Of the 6 who made the shortlist but were not selected by Crist, several reapplied for the new vacancy. That includes Waddell Wallace, a circuit court judge from Jacksonville, who told the commission the kind of Supreme Court justice he aspires to be.
I would be open and fair and instill a sense of humility in the sense that I don't need to be a public policymaker. I respect and understand the role of the court, and I like that role. I embrace the limited role of the Supreme Court. I'm comfortable in the role of the referee, who you don't even notice if the game goes well. You don't think about the referees. And if that were the case with the Supreme Court, I think it would be a success, because so much depends on public confidence in our courts. And when the courts do step out and they're perceived as political, that's where you get thrown into the political attacks.
Perry Adair, an applicant who is an attorney but not a judge, said that the best candidate should be recommended for the position regardless of ideology.
Not the best conservative candidate, that's not the right person. The best liberal candidate, that's not the right person. It's the best candidate. Because we wind up coloring, in my judgment, we wind up coloring decisions in a way they shouldn't be colored by. There are decisions that come off the court when you can start counting heads on which way it's going to go. I guess a commercial to business dispute might be the easiest example, and it's big business versus X. And you're able to count heads on how that's going to come out. I find it appalling. It's real. It goes on. I'm not saying that every justice is that way. But when you can say in advance it's going to be seen this way by this person, and they call me naive, I just can't accept it.
But Scott Fingerhut, another attorney who is applying for the Supreme Court position, argued that ideology should be a factor in considering who will replace Anstead.
He's the last liberal lion on the court, and he's going. And he fought hard to get his seat, and there's nothing wrong with a court full of moderates, but I'm not here to be whatever your sense of maybe what a classic moderate is. That doesn't mean I'm wildly to the left or wildly to the right, but I think a justice shouldn't be unimaginative. I think a justice shouldn't be uncreative.
Tallahassee Judge Nikki Ann Clark said that she considers herself a textualist and is reading a book by U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. A judge has to follow the law in sentencing, even, Judge Clark said, when her conscience leads her in another direction, such as when a 14-year-old was found guilty of murder.
I sentenced that child to life. At the end of that day, I went home feeling absolutely wrung out. I had no trouble making that legal decision, but it hurt me terribly as a mother, quite frankly, to sentence a 14-year-old to life.
On Monday evening, the 9-member Judicial Nominating Commission will choose between 3 and 6 of the 18 applicants and submit the list to the governor, who will select one person for the open seat on the Supreme Court. In March, when Justice Charles Wells is forced to retire because of age limits, the commission will open the application process again, but it will be limited to residents of the 5th District Court of Appeals, which includes Orlando and Melbourne. For WMNF News, I'm Sean Canaan.